Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody. I am Sheila Kasalka, co-founder of Adventure Africa Volunteers and founder of the National U.S. Africa Chamber of Commerce here in the Washington, D.C. area. AfriZone is a production of One World Communications produced in association with People to People. AfriZone is a show that celebrates the achievements of Africans in the diaspora. It is a conversation that highlights Africa's potential and the contribution of Africans are making around the world. Tonight we're going to have Dr. Akua G. Asare. She's a graduate of Case Western Reserve University with her Bachelor's of Arts in International Studies. Dr. Akua Asare went on to receive her medical doctorate from University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. She works at the American College of Cardiology in product development of toolkits and mobile applications to address the high priority clinical areas and integration of the ACC's institutional offerings in the quality improvement of institutions program. She serves in a diversity of roles and on a variety of civic and community boards, focusing on the development of African community, including the chair of the D.C. Commission on African Affairs, co-chair of the Montgomery County African American Health Programs Executive Committee, Health Mental Health Collaboration, the Africa Society Youth Advisory Committee, and the Afropolitan Youth Association of Maryland, as well as her church nursing ministry. Our second guest is Adrina Sawyer. Adrina is the founder and president of Park Consulting, a Maryland-based consulting company for nonprofits and small businesses. In 2013, she was named among the top 30 under 30 movers and shakers in Washington, D.C. by WKYS 93.9. In 2015, she was selected as the recipient of the International Alliance for Women World of Difference 100 Award for Community Work. She has been featured in AfroElle magazine, Under 30 CEO, Reconnect Africa, and African Post. She is a certified self-esteem and life skills trainer. She serves as a liaison for IEDA Relief and an executive board member of Education for Hope Project Dream Big. In addition to her work with Per Consulting, she's also an avid writer. She's the author of The Long Way Home and The Other Sides of Assertiveness. Our last guest for tonight is Benga Ajunjumi. Benga is a social entrepreneur strengthening institutions in Africa. He currently serves as the founder CEO of LDI Africa, an award-winning social enterprise working both in the U.S. and across Africa. LDI Africa is a nonprofit social enterprise that builds the capacity of African corporations, small businesses, and nonprofit organizations to compete in the global marketplace through the service of skilled volunteers. Benga most recently led the nonprofit management series of Atlas Course, a leadership training program for global development leaders serving top U.S. social enterprises and nonprofits like Ashoka Habitat for Humanity, Susan G. Komen for the Cure, and UN Foundation. We're going to be accepting questions from the audience. 20 minutes before the end of the show. You can call in at 646 595-4742 or tweet us live at AthleteZoneDMV. So we're going to jump right in it. So I know a lot of you all hear about the African diaspora, and you might have questions what the African diaspora is. The African diaspora refers to communities throughout the world that are descended from the historic movement of peoples from Africa, predominantly to the Americas, Europe, Asia, and the Middle East, among other areas. So I want to jump right into talking with our guests tonight and asking them, how did you get involved with the global initiatives that impact the African diaspora community? And we'll start with Dr. Akira.
Hello. This is Akira, sorry. And thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate that, Sheila. As far as getting involved with the diaspora, really, this is more a reflection of an expression of something that's been in me for a very long time. There was no point in which I made a decision to be involved. As an African living in America in the 80s and 90s, community and culture went hand in hand. I was always involved in my community and my culture, and that translated into every space that I was in, whether it was in college, medical school, residency, and now here in DC. So it's always been a part of me. I've always attempted to create community wherever I've been and always wanted to give back to my own. So it was never what you might call an active decision or a turning point. This is merely an outward expression of an internal understanding of the way I should be in this world.
Okay, thank you. Adriana, do you have anything? Likewise, Sheila, thank you so much for having me on. I think this is a great discussion that's taking place tonight. I think, like Dr. Asare, the same kind of experience for me. I don't think there was ever an aha moment where I recognized a connection needed to be made. I think it was just kind of natural for me, being a Sierra Leonean entrepreneur, just knowing where I come from and knowing what my heritage and my background, what those experiences required of me. I think it's kind of been a lifelong process to see how I can make my experiences relevant, or how my experiences can be relevant to my current doings as far as my career is concerned and my community work is concerned. I think the line sometimes is blurred for me because so much of who I am is due to my cultural and my ethnic background. So a lot of what I do goes back to that, to my experiences as a Sierra Leonean growing up in the United States. It's ingrained in us. I think that it's a reflection of our culture. Everything that we do goes back to understanding the power of community. So a lot of my work stems from that understanding.
Thank you. Benga, is there anything you want to add to what she just said?
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Sheila, for this amazing opportunity to be a part of this conversation. Pretty much my own connection to the African diaspora space kind of happened on the premise that ideas and talent are universally or evenly distributed around the world, but opportunities are not. I had the opportunity to come here to the U.S. as part of a State Department fellowship program, Atlas Core Fellowship, and right here in Washington, D.C., while serving with top U.S. nonprofits, I was kind of inspired by the great work various organizations are doing, leveraging volunteer service as a strategy for development, be it internationally through the Peace Corps or domestically through the America Vista Corps program. And I was kind of thinking how the African diaspora community in the DC has an abundance of human capital, but there weren't a lot of opportunities for them to connect and pretty much bring diversity to the space of international service. So that was a charge to see how I can be a part of a process whereby we can flatten the space and increase cultural diversity that is multilateral, two-way, providing opportunities for the African diaspora business and development leaders to cross borders and serve the African continent, and also took away boundaries and barriers for entrepreneurs on the continent to cross borders, come to the U.S. and collaborate with the diasporas over here.
That is amazing to hear, because all three of you talked about culture and how this is just part of who you are, and giving back is also part of who you are. Therefore, the opportunities just came naturally, essentially. I just want to dive in deeper and just know a little bit. So as entrepreneurs, the three of you are entrepreneurs, and Dr. Asari actually works with multiple entrepreneurs within her position as well. So just to dive a bit deeper, can I hear from you all about the different barriers entrepreneurs within the African diaspora in the Washington, D.C. area face every day, and how they can use these barriers and turn them around into scaling up their businesses or nonprofits? And Dinga, we can start with you.
Well, as entrepreneurs, it's very difficult for us to use the word challenges. We always see them as opportunities. So there's a lot of opportunities in the area for entrepreneurs from the continent, or African entrepreneurs, to excel in the region. So given the fact that we come from the region, and that gives us an international perspective and just kind of that kind of entrepreneurial perspective in identifying and capturing opportunities and value. So coming to establish and doing business here, I think one great opportunity for us that we think we can better harness is collaboration. We coming together, as an African proverb says that when a broomstick stands alone, it can easily be broken, but when it comes together, it can only bend and not be broken. So I think that ecosystem, that environment that foster collaboration and support and leverage and share experience and best practices is one avenue I think we can use more of. And pretty much my own story was coming to the space and so pretty much getting started, avenues like YAP and the Young African Professional Network, going there to share my ideas and vision, what we're trying to do, and getting a lot of people support in various capacity, from investors to volunteers to startup team members to clients to all kinds in the community. So I said, I think there's an abundance on the utilized value in the community, even when we can just collaborate and break down silos and work together as one community.
I know what you just said about turning barriers into opportunities. We definitely get into these runs where, you know, our barriers are all we see, and we don't realize that there are communities there, there are associations there, like the app you just mentioned, that we can look to help us within certain situations, especially as an entrepreneur. You do need those resources. I want to hear from Dr. Asari and see, you know, what more do you have to add on to what Dinga said? And even in your work, what barriers have you seen entrepreneurs constantly struggle with in the Washington, D.C. area?
Well, let's talk about the different social understandings of business. What are the different norms and ideologies that culturally we all come in with? For instance, we all know that people back home have a way that they treat business. Business is not just about money and cash flow, but it's also about that interaction that you have with somebody else. And here in this country, if the interview is at 7 p.m. and you get there at 7:30, the interviewee will not be there when you get there. Back home, it may not be the same way. Concepts of time and concepts of priority and what is important differ from the continent to here. So when you come here, while you may have a very intellectual and rational understanding of the way things should work, sometimes there are even very subtle differences in interactions with individuals who are doing business here that might make your attempt to have an effective and advantageous situation much more difficult. So one is understanding there are different social cultural norms. And it's important to explore those when you come here, so that you understand it, you become comfortable with it, and you're able to maneuver within this new third space that you are trying to create here on this side of the Atlantic. Another aspect has to do with basic lack of knowledge about accessibility. As the chair of the Commission on African Affairs here in D.C., working with the Office on African Affairs, there are so many opportunities that we present to the entrepreneur, but the entrepreneur may not even know we exist. They may not even know that there's Office of Partnership and there's ways to get grants and all these things. So the question becomes, where do I even start to get help if I don't know what I need? So a lot of entrepreneurs have these issues of accessibility and of understanding what is necessary to swim with the big boy, as you might say, over on this side.
I'm glad you pointed out the difference between culture here and culture back home. Part of the diaspora, we tend to, you know, come to the United States and we think everything here is going to run like back home. So we end up struggling with the transition. I believe it's a cross between a learned behavior and a cross between being willing to learn a new way of working. And especially if you're working with different African communities and you're working with different American communities combined in one area, which the Washington, D.C. area, like we know, is a hub for, you know, different kinds of entrepreneurs. I just want to give Adriana a chance to kind of go in and her thoughts on this.
Yeah, I agree with everything that Bing and Dr. Asari have said. I think in my experience, the three biggest challenges that I've seen, you know, all of which they've mentioned, are a lack of understanding about where the resources are located, especially when it comes to scaling a business. Sometimes you'll have people who have really great ideas, but they don't know what to do with those ideas. And it's because they don't even know what the starting point is. Another big challenge is lack of community. You know, I tell people, especially when I first started Perks, that entrepreneurship is a very lonely process. And so if you are physically by yourself, sometimes, you know, we are as immigrants, you come here, you have to wait a couple of years before your spouse can come or a sibling can come. It kind of intensifies that loneliness and that process. And if you don't have that support, it's really easy to lose the courage and to lose the passion that you have, because that loneliness can kind of overwhelm you. And then, of course, when you get to the business operations side of things, if you don't have that community, you don't know what a good network looks like. You don't know how to leverage a good network if you don't have it. And then thirdly, of course, the lack of understanding of systems, as Dr. Asari already said. You know, I have a kind of silly example, but I had a volunteer that was working with us, and she would always come into my office, and she would always greet me and say, "Good afternoon, Ma." And she was someone that was older than me. And I remember a lot of the Americans who were in the room, they used to kind of look at her strange because she was referring to me, someone who was her junior, as Ma. But I understood, you know, the cultural implications and the background of that. It's a showing of respect where we come from, but that's not the way the system works here. And so I find that to be a challenge for a lot of us, is figuring out how do I first navigate this system so that I'm comfortable in it, and then how do I navigate it as an entrepreneur so I can take myself to the next level. But those are the three biggest challenges that I've encountered.
I want to dive deeper a little bit. Are there resources you can all name? I know Banga said YAP, and I know Dr. Sarah did say she said her office and what she does. Are there other resources that you all can think of that would help our listeners tonight? Anyone?
Yes, it is Banga. So I definitely would say that DC area has an amazing numbers of opportunities for internship or interns and volunteers, like Andrina mentioned. One of my jokes, I would say, small business over here, we run on interns. So there's always opportunity to, you know, add on volunteer talent and staff that one can leverage. Also in the area, there seems to be a proliferation of co-working spaces and hubs that entrepreneurs can also leverage and work out of to kind of bring down expenses, everyday operation expenses. So also as well, there seems to be so much access to internet and technology much more than back home. I think really that is also a great opportunity. In terms of access to funding opportunities, there are a whole lot of tools. I remember when I was capitalizing my business from a financial standpoint, one of the platforms was Kiva Loans, which was a zero interest loan crowdfunding platform to raise that first capital. And as I said, once you have some form of visibility in the community, I think the community here is very supportive and kind of resonates with so many entrepreneurial energy that kind of define where we come from. So people are very supportive of startup ideas, be it Indiegogo or GoFundMe campaign, and raising capital like Love or Friends Money or crowdfunding in general. There seems to be amazing opportunities to do that. Not just limiting it to just domestically, internationally as well. There's so many trade missions, from the government, be it from Black-owned businesses, or minority development agency for businesses, business development agency, or Export DC providing grants for businesses, for minorities to kind of take their business internationally. So I think it's just amazing opportunities here. But having said that, I think the greatest opportunity, the greatest resource I would like to highlight is the entrepreneur themselves, is we are a resource. And I think one of the things that happen is a lot of people come in, and as my fellow speaker mentioned, with somewhat having done having that accurate perception of what value or contribution or what resource they are. I think there's still so much of looking down at oneself as that kind of immigrant mentality. I'm just going to do my own small business. I don't want troubles. I don't want troubles with IRS or government or people. If they don't know me, the better for me. I'm just going to make my money and send my Western Union money home. And I think that thinking is what's tied for the growth and scale of business. I think it's important for entrepreneurs to see themselves as a major value creator to this economy. They pay taxes, they hire, they contribute, they're adding value, they're not taking from the system. They're rather contributing to the system. Seeing yourself as a resource and asset, I think that is the basis in which you attract more resources to yourself.
I'd like to jump in there too, Benga. I do agree with you in the fact that DC and the DMV area has a, what I like to call a magical mix. We've got one of the highest densities of Africans in the country. We've got access to international economic, legislative, and political power. I mean, D.C. is the center of the world when it comes to many things of that nature. We have populations that come searching for opportunities and create opportunities. We have networking gigs that happen all the time. We have organizations like Drum Pulse and Fred DMV events and all these different organizations that are promoting different events. We've got this show, this amazing show that we're even on right now, we have access to. We've even got smaller nonprofits like the Afropolitan Youth Association that does Fest Africa, which is happening next weekend. We have so many resources that we can tap into, and we really are the solutions that we seek. And once we begin to, as I think both of you guys said, remove the concept of the silo, remove the concept of, I'm just going to do my own little thing, and realize that you can do your own little thing, but also work with other people to create, as Andrina said, that community where the entrepreneurs come together and they help one another out. I got to talk about Office on African Affairs, because how many cities have an Office on African Affairs? Come on, guys. Really? We are so blessed to have this. We have an Office on African Affairs that specifically seeks to engage businesses, develop business, and to support businesses. I mean, ranging from they even have money set aside for community grants that different organizations and businesses can vie for, and they can get these grants. and have been for a whole year. There's the Department of Small and Local Business Development. There's the Department of Consumer Regulatory Affairs. There's the Office of Employee Services, Office of Contracting and Procurement, Small Business Administration, Washington, D.C. Economic Partnerships. Within the D.C. area, there are multiple agencies that specialize in helping small businesses. So not just African businesses, but any kind of business whatsoever. And they work in cohesion with the Office on African Affairs and the Commission on African Affairs. The Office of African Affairs has multiple events where they even help people figure out, how do I even write for a grant, so I can get some funding? So there are so many resources that are set in place in a governmental way that people can tap into.
And I would like to add, too, that there are so many larger institutions that have resources that a lot of us as entrepreneurs could leverage that we don't know about. For example, a lot of the local universities have programs that allow their students to work closely with an entrepreneur, or if you're a registered and licensed small business, they'll even send you students that can do internships with you, they can shadow you. And a lot of us, I think, we're intimidated by that concept, but starting out, we end up needing capacity. So we end up needing human capacity. We need people to work alongside with us, and we don't know where to start. We may not have the funding to hire paid staff. Howard University has been really good to us, in that matter, and so has the University of Maryland. We have gotten an intern from the University of Maryland every summer, and all it took was us registering with the University of Maryland to say, hey, can you guys send us some students over the summer? And every summer, we've been able to use that as a resource. Also, the Women's Business Center is a great resource that's been helpful to me. So any, African women entrepreneurs that are out there, they give free software, free materials, free training, free to low-cost training to anybody that's interested. A lot of networking groups, Dr. Asare and Benga have already mentioned a few of them. The Sierra Leonean Empowerment Network is one that's been really helpful to me. Because they offer trainings as well, or just, the opportunity to meet other like-minded people who have a similar vision to you. I'm also someone that takes advantage of listservs, and so I belong to one called Consulting Women, where they are always sending articles, job leads, anything that I would need as an entrepreneur, as long as I'm faithful and committed to checking it as a resource, I get what I need out of it. I think there are so many, as Dr. Asare already alluded to. It's a matter of really committing to finding out what's out there, because I think many people will be surprised at what's made available to us.
Thank you for that, Regina. So if you're all listening and you're just now joining us, I'm Sheila Kasafa, founder of the National U.S. Africa Chamber of Commerce and Adventure Africa Volunteers, and you are listening to AfriZone. And our guests tonight are Dr. Asare of D.C. Commission on African Affairs, Adrina Sawyer of Park Consulting, and Benga from LDI Africa. Okay, so we're going to shift on to a little bit of a direction. So right now we've been talking about how we're going to scale up our businesses and nonprofits and just how there's so many different resources in the Washington, D.C. community for different entrepreneurs to tap into. I want to go a little bit deeper in talking about the diaspora community that does go home, the diaspora community that decides, okay, D.C. is just not for us, we're going to relocate our families, and how that becomes a social and cultural and economical impact on our community. So I want to ask you all, what are the ways for the African diaspora in the D.C. area to remain connected to this collective, this movement that does decide to go home, and how do they stay engaged? This can go to anyone, no orders.
I think this is a great question, and we all have that part of us that we always ask, are we going to go home? When are we going to go home? If we do go home, what are we going to do when we go there? And there are ways that we can actually continue to be in contact with individuals back home. For instance, I really believe that we can develop, you know, like an African cultural center. I know African is very broad and it's a continent versus having like a Nigerian cultural center. But hey, you know, work with me. If we had like a continental cultural center where individuals can come and we could actually help them with acclimating the place and hear what their concerns are, what their stories are, then it would be wonderful. And that's a great way to keep in contact with people back home. If we can't have a cultural center, we ourselves, cultural centers, like Benga talked about, really, we are the solutions that we seek. We know people who are always coming here and going back home. We need to keep in contact with each other. I mean, Andrina talked about listserv. What if we developed a listserv for African business entrepreneurs? And anybody can join it. You know, we could do something of that nature. We can help out the immigrants who are here right now. And we can also do things like, quote-unquote, missions. Now, people talk about medical missions. I'm talking about social entrepreneurial missions. What if, you know, Andrina's doing for consulting? Maybe she could go back to Sierra Leone and do a week seminar. Benga's, you know, trying to give people opportunities back home. You could go to South Africa and be like, hey, this is how you do it. So those are ways that we could kind of reach back and help people back home. There's also, for instance, YALI, as she's called, the Washington Fellows, one of Obama's initiatives to bring, last year was 500, and now it's 1,000 young African leaders here. If we contact them and we keep in contact with them, then when they go back home to wherever they're from, we have that constant communication. So I think there are multiple ways. It's just about finding one that suits you, your business, and your vision. And I think Andrina mentioned it, just sticking to it.
Well, if I can just quickly jump right in, I certainly believe what is worth doing in the D.C. area is worth doing very, very big. And there is no point to put up a business here and close shop and go back home without leaving the business as a legal entity. And being a U.S. business, you have that transnational capacity that you now have operation overseas in multiple countries, and even your own country you're going back to. That means keeping your checking accounts open, do not close your business credit, and constantly keep some kind of overseas operations running. You can do that virtually. There's a lot of options for you to do that. As the doctor mentioned, that being a business owner here did not only give you economic power, but also political power. And so you constantly have the full resources of the U.S. government behind your business. Then your the U.S. embassies in various countries that you can constantly work with the business section just to keep your legal presence in the U.S. And I think there's a whole lot of opportunities. And I think that is a whole big picture and vision for we diaspora entrepreneurs. And I would say that there's a lot of work that has been done in encouraging entrepreneurship on the continent, but this is time for us to go global and compete in the global marketplace. If you already have a footing here as a business owner, I think it only makes sense to continue to grow that entity and expand it international, even back home. I think that is the greatest value you can always get. You can stay connected to the DC Office of African Affairs, Export DC constantly, they do trade missions around the world. That you can still stay connected in. So, and again, there's a whole lot of resources and just see that and as an international expansion when you're going back home. It doesn't mean that you're closing operations here.
And the only thing that I would like to add to that is I think we're all pretty familiar with people urging those of us who are in the diaspora to go back. I've heard people say lately, you know, now is a good time to invest in Africa. Now is a good time to go back and, you know, invest in Ghana or invest in Nigeria. And I think those people are right. I think we all pretty much have an understanding of what the global economy looks like, and everything is merging. And I think if you're an entrepreneur who's African-centered or African-focused, it's to your benefit and to your advantage to go back home and invest. I think not just for the economic reasons that Benga mentioned, but for political power, that's equally as important. I think for those of us who can't go back or who who would rather just stay here and do, you know, grow our business and scale our business here in the U.S., there's several ways that we can stay connected. I think those of us who are staying here, we can always invest in someone's idea. There are plenty of organizations I know who are social enterprises like Bangers, LDI Africa, who are doing great work in Africa, who are looking for donors and they're looking for investors. I think that's a way for us to make sure that we stay committed to the growth of the continent and to the growth of our individual countries without necessarily being in that country. I think for me, I'll only speak for myself, I can't separate what's happening in Africa from what I'm doing. There's always that underlying tie that what I do affects the people back home. And even if the people are just my family members who are back home, I have an understanding that the things that I do has a direct impact on the continent. And I think when you begin to evolve in that understanding, the moves that you make and the decisions that you make, they start to impact you differently. So anybody that's thinking about going back home, I definitely recommend doing that. I think it's to our advantage. We're in that time and in that space right now in history where a lot of good things are happening on the continent. Despite, you know, media portrayals and things like that, I think now is as good a time as any to go back and invest in our countries and in our continent.
And if I can quickly, if you just permit me for 1 second to just quickly add from a social impact standpoint, is, for example, one of the programs of LDI Africa is a business expansion fellowship for African entrepreneurs to be able to cross borders and come here. So right now we have a partnership with Macy's over a 10-year period for African fashion entrepreneurs. They already started to arrive from Ghana, from Nigeria, from the UK diaspora, coming and penetrating federated fashion stores like Macy's with their business. And the whole goal is while doing the fellowship, they will go through business setting up process in the U.S. They will legally put up their infrastructure in D.C., in Macy Metro Center. But however, after the program, they are going back home. The business now continues to be an extension, being a part of the business, the African business diaspora community here. However, they're continuing to further their business and social impact in the various own countries, but they are still integrally connected to the economic infrastructure of the DC area and just to contributing to the global economy. So this is what I envision in kind of flattening the operating space with big, small entrepreneurs, international entrepreneurs, and understand that it's a global playing field. You can just afford to stay local, either in DC or in the continent.
You all make very great points about the DAX for community going back versus staying here. I actually just want to get a little bit political with you all. Our president is in Uganda, not Uganda, I'm being biased. Our president is in Africa, and he's doing a lot of great work, going to a lot of different countries. But I just want to hear your thoughts about how does we are in the Washington, D.C. area, so we are in the heart of the political scene. I just wanted to hear you all's thoughts about what do you think his initiatives are in the direction that Africa needs, especially our community here, and how can our community here tap into those? And this is open to whoever wants to speak.
Sheila, can you repeat the last part of the question, please?
The part of the last question, basically what I'm asking is, how can our community tap into this historic initiative? Our president's on the ground in Africa, and we are in D.C. So is there a way for our community to feed off of it? Because if it is a time, now is the time, especially, and we have a black president, essentially, an African black president. So.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the most obvious but sometimes overlooked ways is the power of our voice right here. I mean, we are the social media generation. And I think about everything that's happened, even, you know, movements that are occurring right now, like the Black Lives Matter movement, and the power of the individual voice, because when our individual voices join together, you have a collective voice that's resounding and powerful. I think when there are issues on the ground, that people can't speak up about. It is our obligation, I think, to make sure that we speak up for those people, especially those of us who are here, you know, in the West, where we don't have as many limitations about what we can say and censorships and things like that. I think one of the things that we can do is spread the message and not underestimate the power of the message. I think in addition to that, I'm a big fan of putting your money where your mouth is. So I think it's worth investing in movements and in causes and organizations that are furthering the causes that are on the ground that a lot of people don't know about. And I think when we join the power of our voices and our resources, I think the change that we will start to see in our countries and in our continent, I think will be immeasurable. But I definitely want to urge everyone and, you know, remind myself as well that the power of our voice has always been one of our greatest assets.
So to dive in a little, Jenga, do you want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, Drina, thank you very much for that and trying to emphasize the fact that we need to come in a collective and amplify our voice. And I think this is the best time to ever be an African diaspora entrepreneur. The continent is opened and there's a lot of competition and trust toward the continent. The partitioning of the continent is happening all over again with major world powers, with economic interest on the continent. I think this is the best time to see opportunities, to be the actors, because as the president would often say, every time is on the continent, that the future of the continent is on African themselves. I definitely encourage every business leader to get a hold of the U.S. Economic Strategy for Sub-Saharan Africa. It details the economic blueprint for the Obama administration economically for Africa. And I think having that understanding, it is now time to step forward and just take the mantle and go and see the development economic of the continent to ourselves. And there are a lot of opportunities to do that. There are always trade missions from the DC government, from the federal government to the continent. There is the diaspora marketplace, funding that are available or resources that are available. Now it is the time for African entrepreneurs to stop complaining that the people who are creating the greatest value do not look like us. I think the playing field is being opened and flattened. We just have to step up and plug in.
Just want to add just a couple of points. One is really the need for us to do for ourselves. We have the platform, we see what's going on, we see how the world is working, and while we must continue to work within the world network, we have to define what we desire and how we want it to be. There are entrepreneurs that are, for instance, in Ghana, who created their first car, a first Ghanaian-made car. And really, that is amazing. So we need to step up, and we need to dictate the rules of the game. And if the game isn't working for us, then we create a new game. Secondly, I believe that we should have an African-led Chamber of Commerce in the DMV area. Why don't we have one? I think we should, because that would be an effective way to organize and galvanize us.
Thank you. I'm going to run to your point really quick, Doctor. I just want to let everybody know, our listeners know, that the lines are now open. If you want to call in with questions, again, the number is 646-595-4742, or you can just tweet us at AfriZoneDMV. Okay, sorry. Back to what you were saying, Doctor. So you were saying that there are different opportunities that people can get into. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I think you had one more point
right
to make.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no. Oh, sorry. I thought you had one more point to make.
No, that was it.
Okay. Alrighty, again, our lines are open if you do want to call in. And so I just want to keep going until, you know, we get a few phone calls in. But from you all's experience, again, open questions. It looks like everybody here is from different countries. I just want to know, what has your community done that's helped you realize, okay, As an entrepreneur, I can get to the next level. When I mean community, I mean your specific country. And do you think that that specific country can be an example for other countries? Because I know within our DMV community, because I know different communities here are in the diaspora for different reasons. Let's say civil war, or some people are here because of a drought, or whatever issues essentially brought them here, or even opportunities that brought them here.
Well, I'll start, Sheila. I think about sometimes our as Africans, we get a bad rap for not supporting each other. I think internally there's always this murmuring of African people don't support, or in my case, Sierra Leonean people don't support. But thankfully, that has not been my experience. And the first organization that comes to mind within the Sierra Leonean community is the Sierra Leonean Empowerment Network, commonly known as SLEN. And they are an organization that's, I think, over 6,000 strong now, and they started 2 years ago. And one of the ways that they were able to support me was they actually contracted with my company to launch. And so right from the start, they wanted to form a strategic partnership and have me be just as visible, or have, you know, Perk Consulting be just as visible as their mission. And they made it clear that they were standing with me and they were supporting me. And ultimately, that became my goal as well, to make sure that I stood with them and supported them. Because while it's nice for one person, you know, one entrepreneur to succeed, I think it's so much more important for the collective unit to succeed. So they've been a great support system to me. And even though they launched 2 years ago, our partnership is still going strong. And we find, you know, ways to keep each other encouraged, their leadership and my leadership. And we stay connected. Another company that comes to mind is the Sewa News Network. And they've been great about promoting some of our initiatives and doing, you know, social media, tweeting and retweeting and liking, and even offline promotions of some of our initiatives. So I'm really, really thankful, because even though that's, again, an ongoing discussion for a lot of us, is how we don't support each other, that has not been my case. And there's so many others. You know, I could name many more names of people who have stood with me during the very difficult times, during this entrepreneurship process so far. And, you know, I can name names all day, but I'm thankful that hasn't been my experience.
Well, my own experience, as an Nigerian, I wouldn't really say I've leveraged a lot of support or resources from the Nigerian community in the DC area. The infrastructure that I've leveraged the most has to be the fellowship program that I came into the U.S. with, which is the Access School Fellowship Program. In terms of infrastructure, I was pretty much incubated out of that program. But I can say that being more very intentional, and when I was trying to raise capital, the very first impact investor to my business is a Nigerian. And this just being more connected to the community and going forward, there's a lot of support also from the DC Mayor Office on African Affairs when we have our outreach events, and using the Edna All for our equipment and the newsletters has been wonderful. And but personally, I just think my greatest strength is my African network. Whenever we have programs from ambassadors to our board, and just helping us spread the word and recruit and just be of support, or donations that we have, it's just the strength is the community itself. That is my own experience.
So I also want to add that recently the Ghanaian Embassy, the Embassy of Ghana here in D.C., had a Diasporian Network event where they hosted on this Diasporians who are Ghanaian for them to come to the embassy. They had a whole session where they talked about how to become more involved in what was going on back home. And this is a new initiative that they are working on. And I mean, that's pretty amazing, because it means that the government of Ghana is recognizing the power and the potential and the necessity of connecting, actively engaging with their community members with us on this side. And so we're looking forward to more of these sorts of collaborative efforts. So that's really an exciting, exciting moment for us here in the DMV.
Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off. It looks like we have a caller.
Yeah, hi, good evening, and thank you for this very interesting discussion. I have a kind of a broad question. You know, the diaspora, the African diaspora is fairly active in you know, transfer of skills and remittances, et cetera. But do you sense some reluctance in participating in long-term investments, kind of looking over the horizon and looking at not immediate returns, but something over the longer term? Do you sense that?
I want to just jump in here real quick. That's an excellent question. Thank you so much for calling and asking that question, because it is an issue that has been brought up time and time again. Africans are here. They're trying to get that money, trying to send it back home so they can build the house for their mom and then bounce. And then they're not really trying to deal at all with like the political and economic futures of this country or of anywhere in the West, like we have some of our other minority groups, like the Hispanics and Latinos, like the Asians, the Pacific American Islanders, who will come, who will settle, who will claim this country, and then actually develop long-term plans. I believe that that's partly because we are relatively new immigrants. If you look at the migration from the continent, a lot of it began in the late 60s, after a declaration of independence for many of our countries. And so we're relatively new migrants on the scene, and therefore we still have a very kind of fresh, more acute perspective about our presence here than we do some of the other individuals who have been here for a long period of time. So I think that that's definitely an issue, and we attack it, which is my recommendation, is that we make it very plain that success here on a permanent chronic level will help the acute situation. So the better we are entrenched here, the more we are part of the political and economic landscape, the more we have people who are in government and in positions of authority that make laws, that interpret laws, that change situations, that will positively affect our situation in the short term.
Thank you so much for your question. Does anyone want to jump in really quick? Thank you so much for your question. I hope we were able to answer your question.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was an excellent response. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, so just we're going to wrap up a little bit here. We're right up on time. So I just wanted to note something Dr. Asari said a little earlier. I just realized I didn't tell you a little bit about the chamber. So I'm the founder of the National Africa U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It will be the first African-led chamber within our D.C. community. And so basically what the chamber is it will be aiding the development of the interconnected global community in our D.C. area, and it will be helping out small and medium enterprises. And this is just for, you know, the young entrepreneur who's 18 and straight out of high school that needs assistance with their website or needs assistance with getting the right resources they need to get up and running, or how do they get funded, how do they get grants, and also matching them with an established organization, like let's say Park Consulting, and getting them with somebody like Adrena, and just, you know, walking them through how do I start a nonprofit, where are the resources I get to start a nonprofit, and basically connecting our community with other people in the community that are doing amazing things and giving them access and opportunities. And I just want to thank our amazing host, our amazing guests tonight. And I just want to give you all the floor to let us know any events that you have coming up or any announcements you have that are going on in the DC area.
Well, I have one. there's going to be Fest Africa USA. It is an amazing two-day festival that occurs on August 8th and 9th of this year. This is our 13th year. We're going to have all different kinds of individuals. We're going to have entertainment, some minis coming from Ghana. We're going to have a fashion show. We're going to have food vendors. We're going to have vendors of all different stripes. It's going to be here in downtown Silver Spring from 1 to 8 p.m. August 8th and 9th. We look forward to seeing you.
I would love to be there to see all the fashion and try all the amazing food that will be there. Anybody else have any announcements to make, and also your websites and how we could reach you after the show?
Sure. Perk Consulting, we have a women's conference coming up in October, and it's called the Embracing You Women's Conference, and it is a personal and professional development conference where we have guest speakers who are experts in the health and wellness field, professional branding, career development, style and fashion. It's October 3rd, and it will be in Northeast Washington, D.C., and anybody that's interested can get more information on our website, which is www.perkconsulting.net, or they can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/perk.consult, or on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is perk_consulting.
I definitely would like to talk about LDI Africa fellowships. So our global fellowship program is going to open up applications in October 1st. And this would be fellowship opportunities on the continent of Africa, across the continent, for business leaders, for development leaders to go to the continent and serve, give back by the way of pro bono consulting. We work with the very best for-profits and non-profit. Also would open applications for entrepreneurs who are trying to expand to the U.S., as well as U.S.-based entrepreneurs trying to expand to the continent. So it's a multi-way global fellowship that has the benefits of funding, of technical assistance, relocation, and just think of it, professional opportunities, business opportunities on the continent, in the U.S. Our website is LDI Africa, one word, .org. We're on Facebook as well as LDI Africa, one word, as well as Twitter, the Africa, LinkedIn, and all the social platforms, including Instagram.
All right. So I want to give another thank you to our guests tonight. And I also want to give a great thank you to AfriZone and People to People. So everybody have a great night and tune in next time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Sheila. This is great.
Thank you, Sheila, for the great opportunity. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you all. Have a good night.